turning now to the death of the former Formula One owner Eddie Jordan. A statement said he had passed away peacefully with his family by his side. Mr. Jordan, who was 76, had been suffering from cancer. Now, throughout the 90s, the Jordan team's fortunes captivated the public. The team enjoyed their best season in 1999 when they finished third in the Constructors' Championship. Speaking to RTE's Peter Collins in the early 90s, Eddie Jordan spoke about the challenges of working towards a world title for an Irish-owned Formula One team.
Motor racing isn't ever going to be ever an easy success. It's always going to be a planned thing. You don't achieve the kind of technical excellence and ambitions that are required at this level or in any sport at the very top level, without a certain degree of pain. And I think we have come back and stepped back to move two steps forward in the future. And we are trying so many new developments and new areas that when we do get it absolutely right, then we will gain the benefit and have the pleasure of it. But we're enduring the pain at this moment in time.
The late Eddie Jordan speaking in 1992. While speaking on Sky Sports this morning, Martin Brundle, who raced for Eddie at Jordan, paid this tribute.
I first raced for Eddie in Formula 3 in 1983 when we hardly had a pound between us, and somehow he hustled and got the car and the transporter and everything together, and we had a great season, and that sums him up. There are so many drivers in this paddock and formerly on the grid in Formula 1 that would need to thank him, the likes of Eddie Irvine and John Alesi and many of us, where Eddie gave us a chance in junior racing and then promoted us like crazy to get us Formula One seats. And I was lucky enough to drive for him in Formula One itself for the Jordan team to close the circle, just like many other drivers such as Damon Hill, Ralph Schumacher, Heinz-Harald Frentzen, Fisichella, many other drivers who were given a chance because of Eddie and his entrepreneurial spirit and his racer's mentality.
Mark Gallagher worked closely with the Jordan Formula One team. Speaking to us from Australia, he paid tribute to his old friend.
Well, I first met Eddie Jordan when I was 16 and he was a racing driver in domestic championships in Ireland. And then a few years later, I found myself working for him as he prepared to enter Formula One. And it was an incredible journey, you know, literally almost in a lockup garage at Silverstone, creating a Formula One team from scratch. He didn't have the money to do it at the beginning, but he put every penny he had into it and every ounce of passion, with the great support of his wife Marie, of course. And the result was a guy who was he was just indefatigable. I mean, he had a huge resilience and ability to overcome whatever Formula One and the business threw at him. And the result was that 8 years after we started the team, we won our first Grand Prix and beat everyone, all the big names in Formula One. And for Eddie as a person, for us as a team, and for all our fans at home in Ireland, that was just a momentous day and really the beginning of a brilliant era for Jordan Grand Prix in F1.
That was Mark Gallagher, a friend of Eddie Jordan. We'll have more about Eddie Jordan in just a moment. But first of all, we're going to take a short break. We're returning now to the death of the former Formula One owner, Eddie Jordan. Formula One analyst and former driver David Kennedy knew him for many years. They started their racing careers together, and he's been sharing his memories of his friend.
Yeah, it's very sad to hear of his passing. I know that he'd been quite ill for a long time and put on a fantastic fight. But Eddie was in the world of motorsport a real maverick, and quite remarkable what he achieved, given the very poor nature his country was in the 70s. We had a war on in the Middle East and a fuel crisis, and it was a case of people were just thinking about how they feed their families. And myself, Eddie Jordan, and Derek Daly were all planning to go to Formula One. So it was quite mad. Eddie was a part of that group that we didn't see any hurdles. We just thought we could do anything, which is not a bad way to be when there's not a lot of resources knocking around.
To persevere and to succeed the way he did in Formula One, he must have been an incredibly determined person.
Yeah, he was, I suppose he had that magic ingredient, a bit of a Pied Piper in him, that he could get people to follow him. And sometimes he'd go off the end of a cliff, but he somehow seemed to survive himself and keep the show on the road. He had a great line. Many years into the business of Formula One, he was probably second or third year, and he was still just walking on eggshells, commercial eggshells, to survive. And he said, you know, it's incredible here. I play tennis quite often. He said, but it's with the bailiffs, and I know them all personally. So he was just managing to hang in there till things came good for him. But the remarkable thing was that he had such success along the way. And remember, coming from Ireland at the time, you didn't have the financial clout, you didn't have the political clout. You were racing in England in the 70s, which probably wasn't the best place to be from an Irish perspective. But he was able to put the funds together and made it happen and achieved enormous success.
He played a huge role as well in the career of many drivers, and it's been interesting to hear so many drivers today say how much they owe to him.
Yeah, one of the things he had, I think, was a sharp eye for drivers, and particularly drivers who had some finance to go along with it. Others hadn't. I mean, the notable ones, obviously, he ran Ayrton Senna, ran him in an F3 program in a test. Of course, obviously, Michael Schumacher was a great capture, and other ones that people tended not to see. He ran probably Ireland's at the time the poorest race driver, Tommy Byrne, and Tommy made it into Formula One, and in fact Eddie was one of the key supporters and really gave Tommy the platform to be British champion, European champion, and then go on into Formula One. In fact, I know he helped Tommy put the film together, Crash and Burn. So yeah, he definitely had an eye for talent. You see, Eddie came from the sport from an unusual different area. He had a finance background, then he also ran his own race car, and he was a race driver. So he had some of the key ingredients to be able to look at the business side of the sport as well as the sporting side.
He also had, you know, an enormous personality. People will think back to those years in the 90s when the team was enjoying a lot of success, but when he was a regular fixture, be it playing music or talking on many chat shows, and he really became incredibly well known and incredibly popular in this country.
Yeah, and it wasn't just in Ireland. To give you an example, we'd be at a Grand Prix wherever, maybe in Argentina, and you would have all the media and all the celebrities and anyone who was anyone would pass by the Ferrari motorhome, the Mercedes motorhome, the McLaren motorhome, and come down to Eddie Jordan's one, because there the crack, as they say, was mighty. And he would have all kind of characters come by, because Eddie was more rock and roll. You know, the other teams were more like Ascot, and it was edgy when you're with Eddie. I remember he had Johnny Rotten there. He had a couple of the guys from the Beatles groups, and other film stars would pop by. So it was always a place where things were happening. And of course, he was an accomplished drummer, so he loved the musical side of it, which fitted in well with the world of motorsport, because at the time the sport was changing to become much more corporate, but Eddie retained that raw sporting music theatrical element and made him the most popular team on the grid.
And that was David Kennedy speaking to me a little earlier.